Hello, everybody. Today's Friday. It's still hot. It's still sticky. Hopefully this time next week I will be on my way to a trailhead. Today we're doing security and nonsense.
What if a polar vortex rolls in and proves you wrong on Friday, Christy?
That would be amazing because it would make our trip... Well, we would be able to swim. But
are you going
to
take the dog?
I haven't decided yet. I've been practicing with her to see if she'll sleep under my hammock.
How do you do that?
I just take her out in my hammock and... and see if she'll hang out under there.
Couldn't you, like, leash her to it or something?
Not without maybe messing up my guy lines, but...
Oh, God forbid.
Well, it could be bad if you have a tarp and it starts to rain and then the dog gets tangled up in the guy line.
Why don't you just stake her to the ground or something?
I might try that.
Why don't you take a net and just wrap her up in the net?
They sell that. That's something... It's called a... Oh, what is it called? It's like the pup tent or something, and it hangs off the bottom of your hammock. And it's like a little baby tent for your dog to sleep in.
Wow.
I considered buying one. I haven't.
You should
pulled
definitely
the trigger.
Get one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what that has to do with security news.
Nothing.
But it's adorable.
Nothing at all.
But in these uncertain times, you want to go with a VPN for sure. And this is one of our stories that we can easily segue into our ad, because you can't trust every VPN company.
No, you cannot.
What you want to look for in a VPN company is one that says no logs. Because if they keep logs, then you're not safe. You need a company that's just literally just going to let you take that traffic, just UDP. We don't care who you are. If you authenticate, sure. If your keys match, okay. Other than that, we don't care about anything. But are they always honest about that?
Beta News, the headline is a VPN with strict no logs policy exposed millions of users' logs, including their account passwords. Now, you know, if you sign up for Linode, you can roll your own VPN. We've actually done a video, and it's already on Patreon and Floatplane, but you can actually even set up HA Proxy and Nginx and use your Linode as a front end for machines that are inside your local area network without exposing your public IP address that you have on your internet connection or even your ISP knowing, because everything's going to run encrypted and on non-standard ports. So if your ISP is like, you can't run a web server, you're not running a web server. You're running a VPN tunnel from your Linode back to your home network. So your Linode can be your own private VPN where you decide what you're going to do with the logs or not, because it's your machine. You control it. You can do whatever you want. You want to have an encrypted root partition and you got to put in your password every time you boot the machine? You can do that with Linode. Linode's actually got a lot of how-tos on their website and a lot of really awesome stuff. We've got a link below. It's a $60 credit, I think. You can use the Level 1 Techs affiliate link for that. And you should check it out. They've also got the Kubernetes Compute Engine, which is actually better. It's faster for what you get and less expensive than the Google compute platform, which is a bold claim, but you can try it for 2 months. So thanks to Linode for sponsoring this. Be sure to check those Linode links out.
But on the other hand, if you don't want to do that and you want to trust your VPN provider, you might have trusted UFO VPN, although I think they're in China. And they would have told you, we don't keep logs. We just don't do it. So don't worry about it. But unfortunately, they did not put a password on one of their cloud instances, which proved that to be false.
Yeah, it was bad. And it's not just UFO VPN. There's like, they do business as like 6 or 7 other names, and all of them were affected.
And it wasn't just the logs that were in that cloud instance. It was plain text passwords, IP addresses on both ends, and the keys.
No!
You know who I bet loves that? Communist Party.
And the NSA. And Mossad. And the Kremlin.
I love this stock photo.
And when it comes to bugs that are possible security concerns, especially for the average user, this one's pretty far up there on the list.
Firefox and Android. Camera remains active when phone is locked or the user switches apps. Mozilla says it will fix the bug later this year in October. They sort of weakly said that, well, maybe if you're using an app like Zoom, it makes sense for the camera to remain active when the phone is locked, but the researchers here point out that's probably dangerous.
What's so impressive about this stock photo, Krista?
I was talking about the last one, but it's fine.
Oh, yeah, that was particularly good.
It was funny, but yeah, that's nice this one's not particularly impressive at all. In fact, I'd say it's pretty low effort.
I'm going to pick the word password off the screen with tweezers.
That's how hacking works, Wendell.
That's going to be the new copy-paste technology from Apple.
You need the Apple, the eye tweezer.
$999.99.
Yeah.
But you can select text from anywhere. Yeah, unfortunate. The idea that your camera would just be running after you finish up with something. I guess it's not going anywhere after that, necessarily. But you can think of some embarrassing situations that could pop up. For sure. There's a new Microsoft exploit, and this is kind of one of those where it's like, yeah, it's probably not going to happen.
You're just learning about it from us, it's already too late. They're in.
But if you properly configure your stuff, not that big a deal. But if you don't, really big deal.
Wired's got the article, Hack Brief, Microsoft warns of a 17-year-old wormable bug. The SIGRED vulnerability exists in Windows DNS, and practically every small and medium-sized organization in the world uses Windows DNS because Windows servers. You need a patch. You need a patch immediately. You need to reboot. It's bad. It's real bad. Extra mega bad.
That's, of course, if they can control your DNS, they can take your users anywhere.
Because it's always DNS.
And they can
always
make them visit nasty, nasty places and infect. And it's on the domain controller. So once they get that, all hope is lost.
Yeah.
Now, this is an interesting story. Who did this? New York Times. Oh, wow, big surprise. New York Times thinks this is a really good thing. I'm not so convinced.
Why is a tech executive installing security cameras around San Francisco? So these are private cameras that are on private property. The homeowners are always involved. The law enforcement does not automatically have access to this camera network. It's run by private individuals. But one individual, the guy behind Ripple, or the guy that's one of the executives for the Ripple, you know, the crypto coin, spent $4 million on this network. But a lot of other wealthy people in the area have added even more cameras to this network, and they cited things like the aforementioned car break-in, which is, you know, the joke that we've made on all three episodes of the news this week. It's like nobody leaves anything in the car because everybody's going to break in. In one case, they actually did forward some of the footage to law enforcement. They do not use face recognition, so they say, and they only keep the logs for 30 days. So if something bad happens, they need to know within 30 days in order to retrieve the footage and hand it over to law enforcement. The DA is in on this. The district attorney is like, yeah, this seems good to me. Let's do this. I would be a lot more enthusiastic about this if it weren't for the Milgram experiments.
But here's the question. If they can get a secret warrant to go after Google location data, what's going to stop them from doing this?
Yeah.
They're like, hey, we know it exists because you told us about it. You've actually given it to us before. We know it's there. Give it to us now. And can they say no to that?
No.
I guess they could destroy it.
Yeah.
But does that become obstruction?
Yeah, you'd have to give it to them the one time, and then after that you could destroy it.
So what's the use of it? And is this... Now, I definitely agree that the government will screw everything up, but in private hands...
The Milgram experiment.
Is this better? And it is, but it's also true that you don't have any expectation of privacy where these cameras are pointing.
Yeah, but at the same time, I'm thinking of like the little Napoleons that run the homeowners associations, and yeah, it's like they've got access to that, and it's just like...
And the business owners are going to be some of those same people.
Yeah.
Homeowners associations are the stupidest thing that I've ever heard of.
I'm imagining that that husband and wife team that had the really poor trigger discipline... that made national news. They had their firearms taken. I'm thinking of that couple in charge of this camera network.
Also, what about a future where, hey, if you want to be in the Chamber of Commerce, put a camera up and
connect it. It's voluntary.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But again, everybody involved, the business owners and the New York Times and this guy and some of the residents all seem to be for it.
This seems less awful than like the Ring version of this with Amazon and law enforcement.
Well, again, this is public property versus private. So I don't know. It's terrifying that I don't think there's any future where we're not constantly blanketed by camera coverage.
And there's probably not any future where we're, as you know, as human beings, we're not just constantly awful to each other under the guise of authoritarian, like, this is what needs to happen.
I can think of one, which is massive depopulation. You can't be mean to me if I'm 5 acres that way. We'll get together on Sundays. We'll trade jams and jellies and breads.
Robot parts for the robots that are farming.
We'll go our separate ways. We'll perform the harvest sacrifices together.
The dream.
Then we'll go back. Now, Crystal, we've talked about black holes with ranged attacks, stealth black holes that move with rapid speed. There's no escape from them. They are going to get you. But now... Right. Now we find camouflage is among their tools.
Stealth, yeah. Is Planet Nine actually a primordial black hole? The scary part of this to me is that they say this is like the size of a grapefruit.
Well, it doesn't need to be very big. Hurtling
through space.
It's the Forbes article. In order to understand this, so there's a different version of this article that makes a lot more sense from, like, the mathematical standpoint. And it's really... the laws of physics as we know them now would not permit this to exist. But if there existed a black hole the size of a grapefruit, it would explain a couple of things that we see, that we have observed, on the that don't make sense, on the outer outskirts of our solar system. And if it exists, it may also mean that dark matter is not, it's not necessary for dark matter to exist because we can have grapefruit-sized black holes. So new physics is needed if this is the case. They're building an observatory to try to figure it out. I'm skeptical that this is going to be the case, but we'll see.
So you're saying we're safe?
No, you'll never be safe.
Would you put money on saying we're safe right now?
No, absolutely not. They will get you.
I feel like the Carrington event is on the menu for 2020, 2021.
Krista, you're going to...
Yeah, that's the December event. We got to prepare for that.
You're going to wake up one day and you're going to come downstairs, you know, you're rubbing your eyes and you're like, oh, God, I feel like grapefruit today. And you're going to pop it out of the fridge, you put it on a plate and sit there. And when you look down, boom, black hole.
Yeah, I was imagining I come down the staircase and the little black hole is just sitting on my couch sucking up all my DVDs and like...
And it's like, not only is it sucking up your belongings, but it's putting you down for your poor choice in DVDs while it's doing it.
Wasn't that how I always imagine like the black hole in that kind of a scenario as like how they described looking at like the Cthulhu monsters, where it just drives you mad. Like you can see something is there, but you just know that it's incorrect and not right.
You look into it and it's alternate universe you.
Yeah, and it's just
scrambles your brain.
Spaghetti you.
So we were supposed to have this new telescope or whatever is going to look at this thing, but it was because of the state of things in 2020. So when it comes online, they're going to point it right at this guy, and the Oort cloud will be feeding directly into this, and if that's the case, we should see little sparks, so we'll know for sure, is there a tiny, tiny grapefruit black hole or not?
If there is a tiny, tiny grapefruit black hole, that could lead to things like a semiconductor revolution, because we could have room temperature semiconductors, because there'll be new physics. New physics!
Or it could lead to one of those...
Carrington events.
What do they call the events that destroys the race before they can get into space? Filter.
Oh, yeah, the filter.
The great filter event. The grapefruit filter. We continue to have more and more stories about the madness of modern language, and it's just this straight out of Orwell. There's no other way to talk about it, but I guess it's probably inevitable at this point that everybody gets on this bandwagon.
Linux team approves new terminology, bans terms like blacklist and slave. Linux creator Linus Torvalds put a stamp on a proposal to use neutral language in kernel code and documentation. I mean, this is fine. I think that the etymology of blacklist is that it actually came from like some king's little black book of naughty people, which was not based on race, but you know, if it's come to mean that, okay, whatever.
But it didn't come to mean that. It was had nothing to do with race ever.
Well, you know,
I don't know.
Let's change
it's
it
a
anyway,
because
the amount of energy expended arguing about it, I'd just rather move on and fix problems.
But that is language is so important in ways that aren't really in our consciousness. You start giving into this and there's no end to it. Now, they don't tell you exactly what you have to use. They do provide some suggestions.
Host, worker, or proxy?
Worker?
Seize the means of computation.
So, yeah, that's happening.
Do I need to go through and update all my old style sheets? Because I usually make a master.css.
Well,
that has all the generic styles for the site.
To answer that question, I would pose another question to you, Krista, and that is, are you a racist?
No, or I need to change it all to styleguide.css, which is longer.
I've heard Cisco has some great classes you could take.
You might not have a choice. Now, if you are a young person in the tech industry and you're out there looking for jobs, you know that there's that catch-22 where you need experience to get a job, but you can't get a job without experience. And you're in this crazy limbo. And this story points out how ridiculous that can sometimes be.
IBM job ad calls for 12 years of experience with Kubernetes, which is only 6 years old. Other job ads make similar mistakes. Candidates do worse. Yeah, so Kubernetes wasn't even useful for 6 years. It's only really been useful for about the last two, maybe three.
There's some great tweets in this article.
I saw a job post the other day. It required 4+ years of experience with Fast API. I couldn't apply, so I only have 1.5 years of experience with Fast API since I created it.
So, yeah.
Womp womp.
They also point out some of the guys who had anecdotes about applicants who came in and put on their resume impossible amounts of times that they had been experiencing.
I've been developing web pages for 17 years, and it's like Tim Berners-Lee hasn't been developed. Who? What?
I lost my train of thought there. I was looking at it and was just like, I feel like I've seen that kind of thing before. But
I think you've experienced some of those horrible people where it's just like, I design user interfaces, and it's like, no.
Yeah, I mean, all of the terms are so sort of nebulous now. Oh, I know what I was going to talk about. So sometimes there was this trend briefly on portfolio websites where people would do like these little bars and they'd be like, I have 4 out of 5 experience in user experience. And it's like, what is that? How do you get 5 out of 5? Like, they just put these like random visual indicators to like indicate how much experience they had. But it's like, I don't know. How do you get to 100%?
I think you have to complete New Game Plus. A lot of people can't do that.
It all just feels so arbitrary sometimes, even though we're supposed to be, you know, more data-minded, I guess.
But you mean kind of like the English language right now?
I think the English language has always been a little bit arbitrary.
No, it's unfortunately true. So, Krista, this was one of your favorite stories of the week because you are a big follower of the protests, even though they really aren't giving us much info about the protests.
They aren't. I think that's strange that you don't see anything about them anymore.
But maybe one of the reasons they don't want us to know about them is because they're doing some really scary things.
Federal agents deployed to Portland did not have training in riot control, New York Times. So if you haven't seen this, this is all over. The only place I've seen anything about it really until very recently was on Twitter. And Portland was trending for a while. And there are videos of what looks like, I guess they're like unmarked federal agents, and they just run in, they grab a protester, throw them in a van, and then they disappear.
If you're a serial killer, you've got a, you know, you're headed to Portland. You're making the
now's the time.
Yeah, it's like, oh, yeah. you can finally feed your dark passenger. It's just going to be amazing because they're never going to catch you.
Now I bet inside those vans they just have, you know, like baked goods and coffees, and they're just having a friendly conversation with them. Sure, there's nothing bad happening.
Definitely nothing alarming that's going to spread to all of our cities.
They're probably just giving them a ride back to wherever they needed to go.
Definitely nothing vaguely reminiscent of 1970s Venezuela when we were doing some stuff down there.
Yeah, they're definitely not on a plane to a black site in South America right now.
Well, so the videos, of course, you know, people are asking them, you know, where are you from? What law enforcement agency are you? Where are you taking them? And of course, they don't answer, though I think at this point, we know that they're like Border Patrol, Homeland Security people.
Remember when all this started and there were those videos coming out of China of people being abducted by vans?
Yeah.
Oh, how we've fallen.
Hey, that doesn't happen here. Oh, wait.
Now we're going to go into a mask block. Oh, this is a controversial one, isn't it? So the first story is about the... it's interesting, the anti-mask people. I mean, on some level, I understand their argument, you know, because how effective are they? And you can't make me do things, okay? And I don't agree with that. I'm fine to mask, because if there is even the slightest bit of help, then what does it hurt? But you're never going to convince people of that. And in fact, they will stick to their guns, anti-masking, to incredible, incredible lengths.
Woman urinates on floor after refusing to leave Verizon store for not wearing a mask.
What a patriot. That's all. Salute her.
If you are on team no mask, this is the type of person that's representing you.
Patriot. I imagine you're like, as she's dropping trowel, the Star Spangled Banner's playing in the background.
Now, she was arrested, but before you re-out, she was not arrested for this. She was arrested because she had stolen Dick's Sporting Goods stuff in her car.
What a stupid move. You've got stolen merchandise in your car, and you invite the police.
But, like, I would think urinating on the floor would also be, like, if you're doing it on purpose and it's proven that you're doing it on purpose, like, wouldn't that also be some sort of law?
I think this is a situation where, you know, you don't need to bother with that charge.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
You've got the, yeah. It's easier to do the paperwork on the other one.
Pro criminal tip. Don't urinate on the floor of a Verizon store if you have stolen merchandise in your car.
In before comments saying that the police planted the Dick's Sporting Goods stuff in her car.
And the urine.
I mean, honestly, who knows? It's 2020.
So if you are an anti-masker, you definitely... Oh, you know what? Chris, I forgot to move you back. You probably got a cursor on you. People are going to be
oh,
so
no.
triggered. Oh. But if you are an anti-masker, so pro tip, you don't want to use your urine as a weapon. But there are other, much more passive ways that you can fight against the tyranny of the mask.
Anti-mask protesters' new weapon, wearing masks that offer no protection from the thing at all. So they're mesh, yarn, and lace.
So here you go. Like, that one is obviously of no use.
You're technically complying with the letter of the law, but, I mean...
One guy very proudly pointed out... Some of these images aren't loading for some reason. But very proudly pointed out that he wore a paintball mask. Just the lower half that's designed to keep you from getting hit in the mouth by paintballs. But it also is designed to help you breathe. So it really is just plastic with slits cut in it. And he went and stood too close to all the employees at the store and even the manager and spoke to them. He's like, they didn't say anything to me. I've won.
I just don't understand, like, the vindictiveness here. Also, like, in the off chance that you're wrong, you could be putting yourself at risk.
Well, I think it's more everybody else, though, because I question how much the mask helps me. I think it's to keep the horror coming out of me to contain to myself, which I'm okay with. Because
especially if you don't know,
as long as everybody else is doing it, I benefit. But if one person cheats, we all lose. That's the problem.
A parable for the coming great filter.
Yeah. They'll be, you know, like sitting around a fire, roasting a dog, talking about the anti-maskers. And why we burn people who don't wear masks.
I like the pictures from the 1918 flu thing where it was like not wearing a mask is illegal and everybody's wearing a mask and it's like, this is unprecedented, and it's like, these historical photos have a word.
Oh, you're gonna get some nasty comments.
Yeah.
Now when it comes to masks, you can choose to submit, I suppose, and, you know, give in to the evil, or you can fight against it with your urine. But there is a third way, and that is to try and find some way to profit from the current mask situation, which some really enterprising teens have figured out.
Teenagers are dressing up as mask-wearing grandmas to try to score alcohol. These Instagram stories are amazing.
The makeup job here, incredible.
Yeah. We've contoured too well. We've come too far.
And of course, the where this falls down, this website just immediately accosted me with so much.
Yeah.
A favorite quote there was apparently the store manager was like, "Do you need help getting to your car carrying all these bottles of wine?"
So of course, using a walker now, she looks pretty young still. I don't think she committed to the illusion. But apparently they're having great success at scoring these delicious, delicious alcoholic drinks, which I'm sure they're going to share with proper social distancing.
Of course, yeah.
Not passing around a giant bottle with a group of friends.
Oh, it's horrifying.
This was a great...
A lot of people are going to be triggered about this one.
Interesting. So yeah. Gallup is a polling organization. They do a lot of political polling and stuff like that. They decided to turn their hand to the question of masks so we can figure out who is and who isn't and how often.
Americans' face mask usage varies greatly by demographics. I would humbly request that you direct your ire and outrage to this website and not our comment section.
So 44% always. Now I admit I don't bother unless I'm going into like a building or something where I'm close to other people.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. I might have one with me, but only if I'm going inside somewhere.
So right I don't. There. I think we could only count ourselves as very often. Now I do always if I'm going into a public place.
I like very often and always. I like that number combined is a larger number than I thought it would be.
So here is the breakdown. Now when it comes to the always crowd, it's kind of weird. Obviously, Republicans are a low number.
You're just inviting the anger, aren't you?
Well, listen, this is what they figured out. Might be that Republicans don't respond to polls. Who knows?
It says women, Democrats, and Northeasterners. The Northeasterner is probably because of New York, right? Like, they saw it up front.
Maybe, yeah.
With the refrigerated trucks and the body bags piling up in the street, it's like, well, maybe I should wear a mask.
Interesting that females so much more than males. That doesn't add to 100. Do you think that's like non-binaries and stuff responding? And they're like, oh, okay, whatever.
I'm always wearing, you know, my furry mask. And the person's like, I don't know what to put for that.
Income is interesting in that it doesn't seem to affect it very much for the very oftens. But actually, it's pretty straight across the board. It looks like the middle class, not as much. What that's about. And then age, kind of what you would expect, although you would think that the 55 and older crowd would have bigger numbers, and they don't.
Well, they're going to have other
bigger
numbers.
Sometimes when I go to the store, it's the older crowd who I see not wearing masks the most.
That is, yeah. And I mean, not like super old, but I'd say like in the 50s range tend to be the no maskers.
I would say a double digit percentage or more just have a death wish. They're like, I've been on this earth too long. I want to go.
There are better, easier ways.
Well, they don't want to, you know, they don't want to do it.
They want the insurance to pay out?
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, engagement challenge. Do you agree or disagree with the Gallup poll about masks? As if we need to invite that.
Post a cucumber or a cucumber with...
What does cucumber represent, mask or no mask?
There actually is a mask emoji I found. Hang on. I'll post it so you guys can see it. But it is actually a thing.
It is.
Face with medical mask emoji.
Yeah, it is crazy to me that it's like, you know, just us pointing out idiocy and... trying to get people to behave reasonably is controversial.
Christy, you're posting those in Discord. The chat can't see that.
They can't see it, but I want you guys to see it. But there is actually an emoji for that, which, again, surprises me.
Also, we need to point out that the cucumber emoji is in Discord. We're not sure if it's on YouTube. On YouTube for them to use in the comments.
It says it's default. I think a lot of services have it. I bet we can use it on YouTube. Right.
Well, hopefully you'll be able to use it. I'm sure a lot of people will be commenting just to test. Now, here in the States, if you don't wear a mask, you might get accosted. It happens. When I was getting my taxes done, I experienced a mask dispute.
I've only been accosted twice for wearing a mask.
Really?
Yeah.
You were
just walking by, and there, you know, I was like, I was sort of keeping my distance, passing somebody in the aisle, and they were like, you don't have to wear a mask anymore. And I was like,
when was this?
Thursday.
Well, that was patently false.
Yeah. Yeah.
You should have been like, well, you don't have to wear an ugly face anymore.
I chose not to engage. But it turns out that I choose not to engage.
I haven't had anyone say anything to me one way or the other, thankfully.
The first time I had it, I was wearing a mask super early, and it was, they said something like, it's not real, or you don't believe that, or something. It was something like that, where it was just, it's like, don't do that, or, you know, you don't, that's not real. They didn't say fake news, but I remember thinking, it's like, wow, this person actually thinks this is fake news.
Yeah, that's interesting that they would be so insistent on spreading that around. But anyway, it can get unpleasant. It can even come to blows. One guy got stabbed. I think it was in Michigan.
One lady urinated on the floor.
Yeah, you could get urine on you. But all of that pales in comparison to what might happen to you in Colombia.
Colombian cartels are killing those who do not obey the lockdowns. Human Rights Watch calls on the government to do more to protect civilians after at least 8 have been murdered by armed groups. Well, you know, it could also be Portland. Like, Portland's not looking a lot different than Colombia. Although it's not the lockdown. I don't know what's going on in Portland.
They're not shooting them in the streets yet. Well, they're not shooting them with live ammo in the streets yet.
Yeah, they're shooting them with less than lethal ammo.
But they pointed out that these are like the edges of Colombia, where, and they interviewed some of the people, and they're like, you guys are calling for the government. There is no government here. The cartels are the government. We live in a terror. And so the government has not made any rules about stuff down there, but the cartel has said no fishing. And like, a lot of people make their living. They eat from the sea in these places. Also, 5 p.m. curfew. Mm. And if you are caught out, bad news. They don't even use vans.
I wonder why they say no fishing. I guess maybe it's like too close contact. I would think being outdoors, like, you would be okay for the most part, as long as you're being careful to not, you know, touch stuff too much.
It's probably like a pier and a fish market. Like the Wuhan wet market.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to get rid of that. But it'll be interesting to see if the numbers, like, does this kind of draconian control, how disturbing will that be if this works?
Can you file a complaint with the cartel supervisor?
Drug lord.
It's like, I'm fishing for sustenance. I'm not commercial fishing.
Yeah, and he'll say, what's your address?
Can I see your license number, please?
Because of the sparks flying between the protesters and law enforcement and the, you know, the paramilitary organizations that are abducting us in vans, there's a lot of news interviews being requested with people in positions of power, and unfortunately the unions are insanely powerful when it comes to law enforcement in this country, and one man in particular, Ed Mullins, sparked a little bit of controversy with his live news spot.
Head of NYPD union gives Fox News an interview with a QAnon mug in the background. I think he was just trolling.
It would be an epic troll.
Do you think it was a mistake or like?
I don't know. I mean, it is prominently positioned. I look at that.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. Why would you have a mug in that part of your office if not to display it? That's not like, oh, I had my nose to the wall back here looking at the flag and I put my coffee cup down.
Well, I think it's on top of a printer or something. And so it's like, if it's on top of the printer, how are you ever going to get, like, you got to open it up to get the stuff out of it.
It looks like a cabinet.
Is it a cabinet? I thought it was a printer.
Oh, I think it's a printer.
Is it?
It's definitely a printer.
It's like, I'm going to scan my documents now. So I got to open the flatbed scanner on top.
Anyway, I was surprised. I don't follow the QAnon thing very much, but apparently they have this weird, like, Pledge of Allegiance slogan.
I didn't understand that. I saw that in the comment, or in the article. But
yeah, it doesn't really make much sense to me. But anyway, it's a very, like, pro-Trump kind of deal. And
the FBI asserts that it's dangerous.
They're a terrorist, in fact. Although they assert that, they said that about the Insane Clown Posse.
I wonder if they ever got removed from the terrorist list.
I think they sued, yeah. And got, they're no longer a prison gang.
How long do you think before the My Little Pony fandom has a similar classification? You know, there's a lot of similarities.
They probably don't get locked up as often. So tourism has been destroyed, obviously, by the current events. Nobody's traveling, and they're certainly not traveling for pleasure. Although, actually, they are. And a lot of people we know went to Florida.
Yep.
Well, that's, come on. I mean, talk about a death wish. But some parts of the world desperately, desperately want that tourism money, and they're willing to put their money where their mouth is.
Uzbekistan is offering $3,000 to anybody who happens to get the thing during a visit to the country. They're like, we're safe, it's fine, come on down. And if you do actually manage to get sick, we'll give you $3,000.
How do they choose that number? Here's the sad part. If you're an American, that's what they expect the healthcare cost to be if you get it there.
I think, isn't the average here like $40,000 if you have an ICU stay?
Something like that, yeah. Now, there is a catch. You can't just show up. You have to book through an official tour guide and stay with that tour guide during your trip. And they're probably going to take you to some very expensive places while you're there. It's not going to be the frugal traveler version of that. What do you think you do in Uzbekistan on vacation?
Oh, there's a lot of neat architecture there. There's a lot of history. You can go see things. A lot of time spent outdoors, I imagine.
I'd rather get the coronavirus. Damn it. Taiwan. So Taiwan just elected a new president, and we were talking about her earlier, and I thought, man, she looks like she's really got it together. This is Taiwan government. They really know what they're doing.
Wait, she was reelected, wasn't she?
I think she was reelected.
Did I not say reelected?
You just said elected.
This was definitely her second term, yeah.
Yeah.
And then that was before I read this story, because it turns out that when it comes to parliament, they play it kind of fast and loose.
Punches and water balloons are thrown in the Taiwan parliament melee. So, yeah.
This is a great picture. Why would there be a photographer?
It looks like it's a close-up of like something from a security camera or something, because the angle's a little odd. Or maybe a cell phone picture.
I don't think there's much on that punch, because he's not positioned correctly to get his hips into it. But it looks like it's having an effect there. Now, here's the thing about it, though. I mean, I understand punches. And they said, so there was a polling station that you would go in to for this controversial vote, and the opposition just got rid of it. Just carried it out. I think they actually got a picture of that. But you have to prepare in advance for water balloons. You had to leave the house with water balloons.
So upset. I'm going to water balloon.
This is them carrying away the polling station. And they kept, like, the amazing thing is they kept, like, the session went on. And they just protected themselves as best they could from the water balloons.
I mean, this is perhaps, like, I actually kind of like this. Because this, to me, is, like, people that are more concerned for what they believe versus the kabuki theater that we have.
Can you imagine Nancy Pelosi getting a face full of water balloon and going on with it, just soldiering through it?
I think we got a preview of what would happen in The Wizard of Oz.
Or McConnell taking a punch.
So do you think, would it change how you elect your officials? Because it's like, I need someone who can take a punch. I just don't think McConnell has it in him.
What was the movie where it was like a Crypt Keeper type character was like punched, and it's like his head spun all the way around, and it was like, yeah, we won, and then the head just quietly spun back. That's what would happen with Mitch McConnell.
That sounds like an Evil Dead.
Yeah, it was just like, and you can hear like the vertebrae crunching, and it's like, no, this mortal shell has just been reanimated by unholy means. It's fine.
But I do agree with you. I like the conviction, and apparently there's a lot of I didn't understand the which party was which, because it's all acronyms, but one of them is they're accused of being pro-China. And obviously that's very controversial. But they can't get a majority for the opposition, so you get fistfights and water balloons.
Well, that seems healthier than what we have.
Yeah. Well, what we have is collusion between the two parties to destroy the lower classes.
It was like, well, does the CCP have a lot of money? Yeah. Well, you know, we could talk. We could talk.
Could some of that find its way into a duffel bag? Now, when it comes to what we refer to as hate speech and hate crimes, some of that might sound good on the front face, but you have to think about it in terms of equal application in terms of the law. And so far, I don't know how much longer it's going to last, but we should apply laws equally in this country. That's the rule. You have to do it. If you protect one group, you got to protect every group.
Well, this is in Ottawa, I think.
And
Actually, I'm not sure because I read it and it was like, this sounds like this is happening somewhere else.
It wasn't in the U.S. at all. No, it definitely wasn't in the U.S.
It was in Canada.
But, I mean, it was for Polish or somebody who moved to Canada or something like that. Anyway, the point is, you make these crazy rules, you got to think about how they'll be applied.
Graffiti on monument commemorating Nazi SS division is being investigated as a hate crime by police. And it's like, why is there a monument for that in the first place?
I think it's a group of people from a certain country who moved to Ottawa or Ontario. It is weird.
I don't understand this. Are you local to Ottawa? Can you explain this monument to us? Why do you have this?
No, it's the letter of the law. So the letter of the law says it's any crime who targets an identifiable group of people. And Nazis are an identifiable group of people. You can't target
It's the armband. It just gives it away.
Why was there a monument, though? Like,
There's a lot of questions here. The point is, unintended consequences. And it's motivated by hate because, they hate the Nazis. Huh? Although, like, what about all those Bugs Bunny cartoons?
Looney Tunes is illegal in Ottawa.
This is an inflammatory headline. There was more to it, but it is kind of crazy still. That it went this far.
Reuters has the headline, protests in Michigan after student jailed for not doing online schoolwork. So there was a student who was warned multiple times that they weren't doing their homework. Well, it turns out they have a diagnosed ADHD disorder. And the prosecutor didn't mention that to anybody. And the teachers were not allowed to testify.
But you're leaving out the most important part. This was not an arrest for not doing schoolwork. This was what they considered a parole violation. She had been in a fist fight with her mother. And so she was out.
Isn't that kind of like nuts, though? That like...
Oh, yeah. From both directions, it's nuts.
Yeah.
It's nuts to get in a fist fight with your mother and go to jail. It's also nuts that not doing your schoolwork could be applied to parole violation.
This isn't going to help her at all. Like,
did you see the thing where the two judges got convicted?
Yeah.
They were getting kickbacks for putting kids in jail.
Yeah. There were a bunch of kids that died.
One kid killed himself.
Yeah.
And I believe at least one of those judges was released because they're like, well, there's a coronavirus risk. We don't want him to, get sick. And then they're like, let's reopen the schools. And it's like, what? Wait.
But yeah, that's too much reach. The Department of Education should have no tie-in with the Department of Justice.
One would think.
If you want to fail, you should be allowed to fail. You shouldn't be allowed to accost your mother in a fist fight. But after doing so, you should be allowed to not do your schoolwork. That's what I'm saying.
Tylan saw what was happening over here and said, hey, let's one up you.
Was it Thailand? I think it's Thailand where the guy became king and those pictures came out.
Yes.
Yeah, that guy is hilarious. Those pictures are so amazing. So I can definitely see how that guy would be a little unreasonable to deal with.
Thai man forced to psychiatric hospital over t-shirt motto. Yes, it was against his will. He had a t-shirt motto that was mocking the leader of Thailand.
It said that he didn't recognize the monarchy or something like that.
Yeah. So, because
they have a king.
Yeah, psychiatric. He's gone into re-education camp. That's what we call it here in the West.
And you should definitely look up the pictures of the Thai king, because the old king died a couple years ago, and his son took over, and his son had clearly been leading a bit of a lavish lifestyle, let's say.
I might be thinking of a different country, but wasn't the previous Thai king like loved, and then the son is no one likes him?
Yeah, I think so. And well, the son, he's just kind of a rich kid kind of thing, and he was, a little bit of kind of a Prince Andrew kind of lifestyle, you might say.
Foreshadowing.
So this story I'm very disappointed in. Suffice it to say, I don't think this is actually going to happen the way that you hope it would. There's probably going to be some like weird competition.
This is what you call a publicity stunt.
And also, I thought he was coming back for real, but it's just this.
Yeah.
This is super disappointing.
Great Bite. Mike Tyson is going to fight a great white shark as part of Shark Week for the Discovery Channel in Tyson versus Jaws, Rumble on the Reef. Literally, this is just a publicity stunt for Shark Week, which is not as fascinating to people anymore because they've been locked up at home for 6 months.
You got to admit, he's, what, like 54 or something 54. Like that? Looking good for 54. Also,
the trailer for this is just absurd. He, like, breaks the surfboard in half with his bare hands.
They of course, they don't point out the fact that, you know, sharks are famous for biting things. And Mike bit somebody, but they expect you to make that comparison.
That's why you subscribe on Patreon and Floatplane there. That kind of a joke right there. It's top tier.
No, I'm sure I'm not the only one making that comparison. That was a while ago, but people aren't going to forget that. Now, Krista, we know that, you know, Rue has certain traits, good and bad, let's say.
Only good. She's a great dog.
She's adorable. But her cognitive skills have been called into question from time to time. Now, how do you feel? What would you say, you know, on a classic RPG scale, what would her wayfinding score be?
When she was a puppy, like zero. But she's leveled up in the last like couple of years, because it used to be she would get tangled on like poles and stuff when we had her staked down outside. But now she kind of like knows not to get tangled up.
Would you be willing to do an experiment where you just, you know, threw her in the car and drove her to a random location and kicked her out?
And just dumped her? No.
Well, apparently, dogs have superpowers. She would have no trouble finding her way home.
I don't know about that. Dogs may use Earth's magnetic field to take shortcuts. That's cheating.
So, yeah, they've got a map here. The dog had a GPS collar, and it was chasing something. Like, the turquoise is like the human trail. And the white is like the dog. And so they didn't take the same path back, which suggests that the dog has a great sense of navigation.
They also pointed out that, because they have the GPS tracker on it, all the dogs they tested, not all of them, but most of them, and especially the ones that didn't follow their scent back, would align themselves directly north and south and travel for a certain amount of time. And they believe that they were orienting themselves with the magnetic field.
Mm.
Also, Krista, this is something you can test. They claim that most dogs will always orient themselves north-south when pooping and peeing.
I don't know if that's true.
Well, listen, you need to find out.
Rue orients herself for peeing based on where the other dog in our neighborhood pees. She's reading the pee mail as it goes.
Yeah, but her body position.
No, I don't think so.
It's not constant?
No.
Maybe her GPS is broken.
Well, maybe I trained it out of her, because she knows now go potty means go now.
She can't even rotate?
I mean, she could, but she doesn't bother to, because she knows, like, it's time.
You know what? She's lived too easy a life. Well, you know who isn't having an easy life? Although maybe it is. I don't know. It's hard to say. Do you think this is a bad life for a deer?
I don't know.
Who can say, but it is, on the surface, it seems sad.
A deer has been stranded on an island above Niagara Falls for almost a year. Although the conservation people point out that deers are great swimmers and it may be able to return to the mainland whenever it wants.
What if it's just visiting?
Yeah. And so they're like, we need to rescue it. And it's like, no, the deer will be scared. It'll jump under the water and then it's all over.
Now, from the aerial view, you can see how serious a situation this is. Because that is just a stone's throw from certain death. And they have not constantly monitored the deer. So maybe the deer is just visiting the island. What if there's just some amazing berries over there?
Yeah. And it's like, no predators can get to me here. I'm the alpha deer.
But it helps them sleep at night. Because, you know, the sound of the water.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But maybe it is just the loneliest deer living out its life. There's probably enough to eat on that little island, and it's just,
since it's made it a year,
just hanging out there indefinitely.
The recent picture definitely doesn't seem like it's emaciated, so that's good.
Yeah, plenty to eat. Maybe it's just an antisocial deer. What would you do all day on an island if you're a deer?
Forage for insects. And swim. Berries.
Swim?
Yeah.
It's a terrible, terrible tide out there, you know, current running through there. But it got there. See, I think probably what could have happened is it went for a swim and it was like, oh, God, I'm heading over toward the... And then it was like, oh, the island, finally. And now it's just like, well, I'm not doing that again.
Yeah.
I'll live here forever.
I can't... do you know how to pronounce her first name?
No.
This is what you get when you don't ever watch news. You only
read. Yeah, you just read it.
Krista, do you? Can you?
I think, though, I don't know that it's Ghislaine. Maybe?
Sounds close enough to me.
Yeah.
Give us the headline.
Ghislaine Maxwell had a cell phone wrapped in tinfoil to evade detection. This is the lady who was associated with Epstein.
So, they've released details about how they arrested her. And the details were released not as like a press release, but like as evidence to the judge that she's a flight risk.
Yeah, and she was not given bail. So, she had a special secret LLC set up to own the house, which was millions of dollars. And that same LLC was paying a private security company of ex-military and also funding prepaid cards that they would use to shop for her.
And also own some property in the UK as well.
Wasn't that in the UK? Or was it, was she in the US? Oh, she was in New England, right?
Yeah.
Somewhere. Yeah. So, and then she didn't have a good explanation of where all that money came from, although I don't know if you're required to give that information. And based on all that, and the fact that she had the cell phone wrapped in tinfoil, they assumed that she was trying to hide.
A flight risk.
What company would, or what country would give her asylum?
Ecuador.
North Korea?
I don't think
she'd go to North Korea. She probably would go to some really nice Spanish villa somewhere.
I said probably, really, realistically, probably any country as long as she promised to pay.
Yeah, I don't think she's got an ongoing source of income, though.
I don't know about her story. There's a book that I started reading called The Hidden Nazi, and spoiler alert, it's a, like, there was a Nazi that all of the other countries really wanted, and we kept him secret in the U.S. and made sure that he made it safely to South America. And it's like, I feel like she would be in that situation where everybody wants her, but there's some country that's going to make sure she safely gets to South America.
But we had a lot of Nazis just out in public.
Yeah, that guy was like really bad, like really bad. He's the literal architect of like the a lot of the camps and stuff. And all the countries were like, we need to put him on trial for war crimes. And we were like, nah, we're using him for intelligence. We don't know where he's at. We knew. He was in South America. We put him there.
He might have more blood on his hands, but if you tally up the V2 numbers, what about Von Braun?
Yeah.
Our final story is hilarious. Often we talk about, you know, the focus groups and the committee. Clearly this company had neither. And a really, really bad decision. Although it is funny, and I understand what they're coming from. They gave it a negative connotation, or tried to, but it's 2020, bro. You just can't do it.
Anti-racist beer pulled from shelves for looking racist.
Now you can see the very top of this bottle, and you can probably guess where we're going here.
It says Yellow Belly, and there's two dots there. I'm not seeing it. I don't know.
What really, really, really killed me was the description of this beer. Did you read that?
No.
It was...
it's down at the bottom of the article.
Let me... Oh, here we go. So you just read the...
A peanut butter biscuit shot with...
Stout.
Stout with no biscuits, butter, or nuts. Taste, enjoy, and don't be prejudiced.
Peanut butter biscuit stout. What the hell is that?
Not a good beer flavor.
I'm not enough of a beer aficionado that any of this made any sense to me.
Now, is that American biscuit or British biscuit?
Oh.
I would hope that it's an American biscuit because, you know, aren't beers like kind of, like Guinness is kind of bready?
Well, yeah, it's yeast, so.
So.
But I just can't imagine drinking a country biscuit.
I can imagine that more than drinking a chocolate chip cookie.
What? Chocolate milk?
It's gravy mixed into the beer with the biscuit.
Oh, I'm getting flashbacks of that time that we tried the Thanksgiving meal in a can. Remember those? It was like, let's just try random holiday flavors. And it's like, here's turkey gravy flavored soda.
No, oh,
that was years ago. That was something Walmart had. We were like, this can't be real. It was real.
There's a soda company that makes just weird sodas like that.
The only one that was reasonable was the cranberry sauce flavored soda.
Well, you won't be having any Yellow Belly. I bet if you've got some of these would be big eBay items.
Super collector's items.
Yeah.
Probably not as much of a collector's item as the World War II memorabilia your grandfather brought back from Germany.
Or the monuments in Canada. How did nobody discover that until now?
I don't know.
All right, Krista. Let's have a outraged by really bad marketing goodbye.
Bye. Wow. It's caring about marketing, right?
You're really not putting the effort into these anymore, Krista.
I'm not. Not for marketing.
You know what? I'm going to be on the side of the grapefruit when it comes.
You'll be sucked in by the grapefruit and turned into spaghetti.
No, I'm an ally.
No, you're going to be turned into spaghetti.
The grapefruit black hole would definitely explain the call of the void that we all feel.
The call of the grapefruit?
Yeah, it's just like, oh, it's just beyond, you know, it's like the warning from 2001, A Space Odyssey. It's like, all these worlds are yours.
Pluto's been trying
Europa.
To tell us for years about what's lurking out there. And we were like, Pluto, you're not even a planet.
All right, we'll see you next week, although I have a feeling one of us won't, because she will be traveling with her dog, right?
Oh, yeah, I'll be on a hike next weekend.
With your dog?
Maybe with my dog.
Oh.
Woo!
Woohoo!